May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Believe it or not, there is some conversation among those who like to have conversation about such things, about whether or not Jesus had a sense of humor. I don't think it's just because I love to laugh that I want to say, "Are you kidding me?" If Jesus didn't have a sense of humor, what the heck is the statement we have just heard? Jesus says, "Those who receive a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. Those who receive a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward." With even the tiniest knowledge of what it meant to be a prophet and a righteous person in Israel's history, Jesus' statement becomes humorous. With recognition that Jesus says these words in awareness of the challenges and the conflicts that he faces as prophet and righteous person, the statement becomes even more humorous. Humorous in the way that a certain kind of humor can be, dry, witty, and so elucidating. We, perhaps like the first hearers of Jesus' words, might focus immediately on the word reward and go, "Nice, I like rewards. I'm going to try to receive a prophet or a righteous person the next time I meet one." But if we catch the humor, we will recognize that Jesus' wit is meant to open our eyes. If you've watched Rick Mercer's Talking to Americans, I think you might catch the same kind of humor that I'm talking about. Like when Mercer got a Columbia University professor to sign the petition saying that the government should stop putting the elderly on ice floes. Or the Harvard professor who said that, yes, the government absolutely should bomb Saskatchewan. Somebody had to do it. Mercer's straight-faced humor was immensely revealing. Likewise, Jesus' humor here is a way to bring something to light, the challenges of the life of being prophetic and righteous. The prophet and the righteous person can, of course, expect a reward from God for being true to God's will, a reward from God for being obedient to God. But that reward does not look like a reward, at least a social reward, that any sane person would want. Because in the community of the righteous or the prophet, they are rarely adored and even welcomed. Jesus is the prime example of this. But he's not the only example. We heard from another prophet and righteous person this morning, from Jeremiah. Jeremiah, who, like other prophets and righteous people in Israel, was legitimately reluctant to accept God's call to be a prophet, to be a person whose job description included being righteous, obedient to God's will, dedicated to justice. Jeremiah, who, though he was reluctant, could not resist God. A man who knew that he was compelled to speak the word God gave him and to act on behalf of God's will. Who described God's word as like a fire that was shut up in his bones, which he could not hold in. Jeremiah was legitimately reluctant. He knew his social reward would not be pleasant. And that was indeed the case. His reward for being a prophet and a righteous person was to be beaten and thrown into a waterless cistern with deep mud on the bottom and left to die. And he would have died, except an Ethiopian eunuch employed by the king pleaded on his behalf. And that was just one example of the reward Jeremiah received. The reward Jeremiah received for being a prophet and a righteous person was not the kind of reward that any sane person would seek. It was hardship and rejection. When Jesus says to his disciples that whoever receives a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward, and whoever receives a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, he is using his wit, his humor, to clarify for his hearers the stakes involved in receiving prophets and righteous people. The act of receiving prophets and righteous people is an act of solidarity with them. And anyone with the least knowledge of Israel's reaction to prophets and righteous people, or of their reaction to Jesus himself, knows what that solidarity means. Sharing the same kind of reward that they do. Matthew places these words of Jesus right after one of Jesus' most difficult sayings, and Jesus has many difficult sayings, but this one ranks at the top of the list. If you were here last week, you would have heard a fine sermon by David Giffen on the words of Jesus that come just before the words we hear today. Jesus says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have come to bring not peace, but a sword. I have come to set a man against his father, and daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Those who do not take up their crosses and follow me are not worthy of me. Those who find their lives will lose them, but those who lose their lives for my sake will find them." The life of receiving Jesus, the prophet and righteous person, is not a rewarding life in any normal sense of that word. Jesus, who is, of course, more than a prophet and righteous person, but not less than one, Jesus spoke and did these things that people clearly found difficult to receive. He ended up on the cross because of it. This is the lot of prophets and righteous people, because they see things in a way that can seem as if they are turning the good and the bad upside down. They say things that sound like bad news, although it is really the good news of God. They do things that look traitorous, an offense to the common good, although they are really doing God's will. In Jeremiah's case, this was his saying that Israel should submit to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. The words of Jeremiah, which we heard today, are spoken to another prophet, Hananiah, and in front of the priests and people in the temple. Hananiah has prophesied what the people hear as good news, that God has broken the yoke of the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, and that within 2 years, all that was stolen from the temple by the Babylonians will be returned, and all the exiles are going to come home. In response, Jeremiah uses irony. "May the Lord do that. May the Lord fulfill the words you have prophesied. But listen to my words. They are in line with the prophets before. Words that prophesy not peace, but war, famine, and pestilence. As for the prophet who prophesies peace, when the words of that prophet come true, then it will be known that the Lord has truly sent the prophet." In other words, the prophet who prophesies news that the people want to hear is not sent by God. Jeremiah says these words while doing what God has asked him to do, which was to wear a yoke of straps and bars on his neck, looking like a slave. God has commanded Jeremiah to look like he is a slave and to prophesy that Israel must submit to Babylon. Jeremiah looks bad. What God has asked of Jeremiah looks bad. And what Jeremiah asks Israel to do for God sounds like very bad news. This is the lot of prophets and righteous people, to see things upside down, to see what looks good to most people as bad, and what looks bad to most people as good, to see God's hand in the most preposterous situations, and to be willing to forego comfort and social acceptance for the sake of the Word of God. In Matthew, Jesus is challenging his disciples to be willing to accept prophets and righteous people, knowing that this will not make them comfortable or popular. Here at Redeemer, we have a distinguished history of being willing to be uncomfortable and unpopular for the sake of what we have believed is good news, even though it has looked to many as if it were bad. The last two Sundays have been a testimony to our church's willingness to accept prophecy and work for righteousness, for justice, to accept the prophetic and righteous word that marriage equality is not bad, but good, to acknowledge that what the church had thought was good in participating in the residential school system and in maintaining the idea of European cultural superiority was actually really bad. I wonder what the next prophetic word is that God might be asking us to hear, to receive. What are the next righteous acts of justice that God might be calling us to? I truly don't know what they might be, but I do know that discerning them will be hard. It will be hard. Because history shows us that what may look bad to us at the time may actually be God's good, and what looks good at the time may be against God's righteousness. The ability to receive prophets and righteous people requires discernment. The capacity to discern prophetic and righteous words and acts. And in each of us, that ability and capacity is weakened by what the biblical writers call sin. That insidious force that is at work in us communally and individually, that tells us that our own comfort is the most important thing, that deafens us to the cries and needs of others. As we heard last week, Paul's prescription for resisting the force of sin and so being able to receive what is truly of God, even though it might be hard, Paul's prescription is, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And as we heard today, Paul says that because God has liberated us from sin, we can be slaves of God, people entirely obedient to God's ways. If living as dead to sin and alive to God, living completely for God, like God's slave, sounds unrealistic to you, you would not be alone. But you may, like me, and like many Christians before us, think that it's worth a try. Worth a try to dedicate our lives to being free from sin and alive to God, and so to be able to discern where God is asking us to be involved with God's restoring work and to be willing to accept the hardship involved. I don't know that there's any secret knowledge about how to live this kind of God-focused, justice-focused life, apart from the age-old wisdom of devotion. Devotion to prayer, to Bible study, to worship, to taking the sacraments, to life in Christian community. I do believe we have been given the resources we need in order to smile wryly in the face of the kind of reward that we will inevitably get for receiving prophecy and acting with justice. This church, our beloved Church of the Redeemer, was founded 4 years after Confederation. And despite some challenging times, it has been a prophetic witness to justice, to righteousness. My prayer, and I'm sure I pray along with you, is that in the years ahead, Redeemer can continue in the work of prayer and the labor of love, that we may have clarity of vision and open hearts to know and do what God wants of us for Toronto and indeed for Canada. May we continue courageously to be a force for justice and the ways of God. Amen.